The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by Parmar and also our friends at the Masters Law Firm. This is the podcast version of the show. Joining me in the Stone Church Studio, Derek Bailey, Michael Sussman. Gentlemen, welcome in. It's officially football season.
It's game week. Everybody's excited and everybody's optimistic except for the Naval Academy.
Nerves, anticipation, all of it. It's here, baby.
It's actually my favorite week of the season because, like you said, everyone's optimistic. And even my perspective on WVU's football season, even my golden blue glasses had me thinking more than what I really realistically know is
going
to happen.
They're going 15-0.
Yeah,
it's 15-0 right now. It's 15-0. They can win that one. That ain't nothing.
Yeah, but you know, yesterday some of the football started. You had USC, Notre Dame, some Conference USA games, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But let's get into this. West Virginia at Penn State next Saturday night. I was going to say Friday night for the first time since 1992. Actually, before we get into that, I want to back up. Let's talk about Mountaineers on Main Street. Kudos to the folks at LM Communications. We are partnered with them. They run this, our radio show over on the Jock, but what a good event. The only downfall, it was 150,000 degrees yesterday, but what a turnout.
Yeah, that's a good event. I guess they're going to make that annual now. I mean, it seems like they did it last year, did it again this year. It was successful both years. I showed up around 2:30 yesterday, and I could only handle it till about 5 because it was roasting hot. But, you know, it was good to see the former players come out. The crowd was very good. It was packed when I got there, and it was packed when I left. That's a good event. Yeah, kudos to them. It's a very good event. It's you know, gets everybody excited, gives them something to be excited about and talk about anyway.
Hey, the band sounded good.
Yeah, it's fine. We might not have a good team. By God, that band will always be good.
Yeah, it was awesome. Got to meet Owen Schmidt and Major Harris. Two downsides of the day, actually. It was insanely hot, and somebody stole my tacos.
Welcome to St. Albans, Michael.
Welcome
to St. Albans. That's right. That's how we roll down here. We steal your tacos.
Apparently. Keep me in the Stone Church where it's safe, man. I'll take my tacos. I swear to God, turn my back, put them on the curb. We're handing out raffle tickets. We're doing our job. Next thing I know, I turn around. Somebody nabbed them.
Imagine if you'd have put a Miller Lite out there and been gone before the tacos.
Somebody stole the tacos. But anyway, what a great day on Main Street, and appreciate you know, Owen and Major coming down, and then Avon, and they're doing the celebrity thing. So
Gabe, you know, too. Gabe was there.
Oh yeah, for, you know,
Gabe was there.
Basketball guys. We'll talk about them later this year. Let me ask you guys this. You know, West Virginia was picked last in the Big 12 by the media. Do you think they're really the last place team?
I still don't. I mean, if they finish 14th, in my opinion, I'll be 43. I keep saying that. That would be the worst WVU football team I have ever seen, just due to the fact that who is coming into the Big 12, who is currently in the Big 12, the state of the Big 12. It would be the worst WVU football team that I've ever seen in 43 years.
I don't think it's a last place team. I think that's kind of a lazy assessment based off returning production, but I think there's enough promise with C.J. Donaldson and with the returners on the offensive line to where I see 5 wins. I see 5-7. I think the team lacks explosiveness. It lacks leadership, but is it god-awful, terrible, last place bad? No.
I see the same thing he said. I said 5-7. That's my preseason prediction for him is 5-7. And that's not going to be 14th in the Big 12. I'm sorry. There will be somebody, Houston or Cincinnati or somebody like that, will finish 3-9 or maybe worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not so convinced this team is bad as what the experts predict. I mean, you're looking at an offensive line that returns a lot of production up front, and even a few young guys that are promising backing them up. You've got a quarterback who potentially, if they name Garrett Green the starter, has the potential to open up your offense a little bit with his feet, because we've had statues back there for the last four seasons, since 19, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Feels that way anyway.
And, you know, so, and then you've got CJ, man, listen, CJ Donaldson, to me, gives you a chance to win. I mean, I know you can't run, teams don't run for 400 yards anymore, but he gives you
a chance. If you can run the ball, you'll win games. It's never changed. It has never changed, no matter what the offense is. If you can run the ball, you're going to win football games.
And you might have that speed dimension, too, with Anderson. They're high on Jaheim White. Who do you think the guy will be there, just as far as Penn State goes?
Oh, it's going to be Donaldson. I think it's Donaldson. I mean, what I saw out of him last year, I mean, he's
but as far as the backup number two guy.
I'm sorry. I think it'll be Anderson at the Penn State game because he has a little more game experience than White.
I liked what he showed at the end of last year.
He had a huge run there against Oklahoma State late in the season. Well, it was the last game of the year. And he showed some good burst. I think he'll be the guy to start as the number two back. And I think that might play out as the season goes, too. That might be one of those battles that goes on into the season for a few weeks until they solidify number two back.
I think the issue for this team is going to lay on the defensive side of the ball.
That's the Achilles heel. Let's be honest. They got some good players. I mean, Kopka's a good player. The safety, I believe his name's Burks. Burks is a good player. The defensive line is going to be the issue. It's whether or not they can stop teams from running the football on them.
I mean, yeah, the Steels brothers are gone, and for me, I think it falls on Jordan Leslie. I mean, are we getting $650,000 of production out of our defensive coordinator?
No.
Simple. Just one answer, no.
No, he's just not apt to scheme at this level, and doesn't it just seem like the Mountaineers are always on the ropes? They're never the aggressor defensively.
Well, I can recall last year, you'll remember this too, it does. It seems like they are always playing on their heels instead of moving forward and attacking. But last year against Texas Tech, there was a 4th-and-2. The corners were like 7 yards off the ball. It's like everybody in the stadium, like, they're going for it. Oh, well, we're just going to throw it to this guy over here that you don't have anyone on for 2 yards and keep on with our drive. And, like, we're sitting in the, you know, everybody's sitting around watching the game, and they're just like, well, I'm not even a coach, and I can see that.
People forget, like, Jordan Leslie was the defensive coordinator at East Mississippi Community College 5 or 6 years ago. Like, I'm a football junkie. I'll watch the documentaries sometimes. Last week I was watching an episode where Leslie's got his hands in his head trying to figure out a JUCO defense, and he can't do it. And it's the same mayhem on Saturday against Oklahoma, against Texas. It's different. It's just different.
You know, I think this may, you know, like most good coaches, go down in flames because of their loyalty to their assistants and their buddies. And this is probably going to be the part of it that brings Neil Brown to his knees, because he had an opportunity to get rid of him over the last two seasons. But what'd they do? They rewarded him with a contract extension.
Who was the special teams coach?
Oh, Joe DeForest.
Yeah, remember him? That's kind of similar in my opinion.
Finally, though, Dana got rid of him. They sent him packing to where? Like Kansas or Kansas State or something like that?
I don't even remember where he went. I don't know where he is now, but I remember that guy, and because even everything.
You know, Stu was overly loyal to Jeff Mullen, but outside of that, had a first-class coaching staff. He had Doc Holliday. He had the Jeff Castile, Tony Gibson, Jawan Sider. He had all these guys on his staff. Jeff Mullen was literally the Achilles heel on that team, because that offense looked like something that we ran in Red Raiders football in 88.
I'll never forget when I was done with that offense, and it was quickly into the second game against East Carolina. They go down to where was it? Where's East Carolina? It's Greenville, North Carolina, and they get beat 24-3 by East Carolina, and you're just like, oh, I've seen enough.
Yeah, thankfully I was working on the road that day. I didn't watch that game.
Oh, it was a beating.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching staff is pretty much just the Troy coaching staff from 2 years ago. And didn't Troy win 11 games last season? They won the conference.
If I'm not mistaken, they won 10 games 3 times with Coach Brown as head coach. Like, he wasn't a bad hire. I don't think anyone thinks it was a bad hire.
I'm saying post Neil Brown at Troy. Troy is still good.
Still good. Yes, you're right. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like this is going to be the what literally brings him to the unemployment line.
Oh,
which is, you know, and back to my original question, is West Virginia last in the conference? No, I don't think that the people, I don't have faith in the coaching staff. I have plenty of faith in the players. I think there's enough pieces to go to a bowl game this year.
They had three preseason all conference offensive linemen. That right there tells me they are good enough to move the football and win some games. BYU had trouble stopping the run last year. Houston has trouble stopping anything. I think they played like a 77-63 game against SMU last year. Duquesne shouldn't stop West Virginia once. I'm still not sold on Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh always loses games that they shouldn't. I mean, there are winnable games on that schedule to get behind that offensive line and pound people with Donaldson. That's what they have to do. They're not going to finish last.
Well, I hope not. I hope not. Speaking of winning lots of football games, which is what we want to do, I want to encourage anyone listening to today's, I'll spit it out. Yesterday took it out of me. At one point, I was seeing spots yesterday.
It was hot.
It was roasting, man. It was so hot.
It was next level hot. I had a slow pitch softball tournament. I was Mr. St. Albans yesterday. It was absolutely sweltering.
Well, and then also, too, I have to kind of it's like herding cats trying to get athletes into a place on time. Yeah. So the plan was to eat lunch at noon. And, of course, I go and I'm like, all right, it's noon. Everybody should be here. And nobody's there. And they're calling me for directions, and they don't know where they're going, and they're 30 minutes out. And I'm like, so I miss lunch, and I'm in that heat.
You didn't eat either?
No. I didn't eat until after, like, around 6 o'clock.
Oh, man, it was so hot.
So it took it out of
me. That concrete really didn't do us any favors either.
Yeah. So, anyway, so back to my original point. 1993 undefeated team. For the podcast listeners today, be on the lookout. Probably Wednesday or Thursday, I'm going to release the entire interview. I just interviewed Tommy Orr for the radio show, but we did about 45 minutes. And Tommy was the starting safety for the 93 team way before you were born. But, Derek, you remember him.
A lot of people remember him from the Syracuse game when Marvin Graves threw the ball off his helmet. And they ejected Orr, and Graves got to continue to play.
Yeah, that was a different position back then.
He was good. He was All-American. He was pretty good. Yeah. He was really good. And that defense was pretty stout. So we'll hear from him. He'll talk about the Marvin Graves incident, and then he will follow it up with talking about the trip back to the Dome the next year.
They got their revenge that year, that's for sure. They got their money's worth up there.
And he even had a little input on, you know, Coach Nealon had the tendency to take his foot off the gas. 28-0, he would start putting in the backups.
He didn't.
And he didn't that day. So
I think at that point in time, now I'm sure it's probably worse now, but I think that maybe was the worst loss in the Carrier Dome for Syracuse in 93, like when West Virginia went up there and beat them that way.
And also, too, I said, you know, at that point in the season, though, they were in the hunt and could.
They weren't a bad team that year. They were not a bad team.
And could contend and potentially play for the national championship. So they were going for style points even because with the polls.
I was referring to Syracuse, though. I was referring to Syracuse. They weren't a bad team. Now, they weren't great, but they weren't horrible. Like 43-0 was a pretty good win for West Virginia night.
They gave them a whooping that day. But anyway, for those of you listening, listen to the radio show. You'll hear some of it, and then we'll have the full broadcast or the full version of the podcast. Did you guys watch any games yesterday?
I did.
What all did you catch?
I caught some of Jacksonville State and UTEP, which was obviously Rich Rodriguez. I caught some of Ohio.
Oh, man, don't mention Rich Rod. They were firing me up on social media.
Oh, Lord. I caught some of San Diego State and Ohio University. I didn't get any of Vanderbilt in Hawaii. They were on SEC Network, and they got into a long, long, long weather delay down there in Nashville. And I tried to follow USC and San Jose State, but it was on Pac-12 Network. I don't get that channel.
Yeah.
Anthony, I think being all over Rich Rod right now is the perfect place to be as far as a future candidate. He's still in his prime, still coaching at an elite level. It's a hard ask to go to FBS and to win your first game in a tight game, in a packed atmosphere. They had 18,000 people at a Jacksonville State game.
And he's
getting that thing going.
They're renovating that stadium, too. You could see it on TV where they were renovating the stadium. I didn't get to watch the second half. I caught the first half. His quarterback looks a little bit like he has some accuracy issues, but they ran the ball for, I think, 210 yards on like 42 carries, which is what you need to do.
Yeah.
210, I mean, it's 5 yards a pop. That's what you want.
Where do you think the pushback is coming from on Rich Rod? Is it just the way he left?
It's, you know, not to get political, but it's almost like politics. People that don't like him think that they don't like him for a certain reason, and they don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a great coach.
How you see that with like political candidates. They don't care how bad of a candidate or good he is. They don't want to hear the truth. But the fact of the matter is the pushback is for the fans that got their feelings hurt that he left for Michigan. They don't know the whole story on the background of it. They don't know what was going on in the administrative side, the promises that weren't kept, and that type of thing. Now, Rich has admitted he did a lot of things wrong because at that point he was leaving. They weren't going to right the wrongs. And he was told, don't say a word. Just get out of Morgantown and get up here to Michigan.
I mean, he could have left. It was bad exit. It was just bad all around.
Well, he was told. This is what he was told to do.
It was just bad all around, though. It was bad on – everybody had fault in that. I mean, you know, if he – I don't know whether or not what people really think of him. It feels like a kind of like a – I don't know, about an 80-20 split. Seems like 80% really dislike him, and the other 20% is just kind of like, eh. It is what it is.
When we go to 10-2 or 9-3 to 8-4 or 9-3, I understand your feelings being hurt as a justification for not checking out a candidate.
Yeah.
But when you look at how far the program has fallen and how few legitimate people there really are to look at year in, year out, you got to look at your home state guy.
And let's be honest here. And I'm not. This is not a knock or a slight against West Virginia. If disaster does happen and they do finish 14th in the Big 12, that's putting them at say 2-10. You're talking about a 2-10 season. There are not a whole lot of coaches out there that would look forward to coming to do a complete rebuild in Morgantown, West Virginia, where the recruiting base is not very like you don't have like a whole lot of in-state recruiting, and you have a fan base that has. Well, they don't demand national titles and 10-win seasons, things like that. They do, you know, you expect 8-9 wins a year.
You expect to be very competitive.
And that's a tough road to go, you know, as like a new coach coming in, trying to compete that way, and maybe not getting the time you want to have because the way we go now, it's like 1-2-3 and done.
Yeah. And if I hear another person tell me that he, you know, he coached in the Big East and what makes you think he caught lightning in the bottle? That's my favorite one. He caught lightning in the bottle with Steve Slayton and Pat White. Well, no doubt. Pete Carroll caught lightning in the bottle with Matt Carroll or
Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush.
So, I mean, but the thing about it is what they forget is he had two Big East championships before those guys ever played a down.
And, you know, you can make all kinds of arguments. You just slant the argument the way you want to slant it. It's fine, but here's the thing. He was 60-26 in, what, 8 seasons at WVU? Was it 7 or 8?
He was here
01 to 07. Yeah. So 8 season. Let's just ask this question. If he doesn't leave, how many wins is he sitting on right now at WVU? He's easily rolling. The wins leader. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I get it. You got your feelings hurt and blah, blah, blah. But guess what? How many of you have gone back to your ex-wife for cheating? Or your girlfriends for cheating? Or you're gone back to your ex-girlfriend? So I don't want to hear it. You know, and he may not be the guy, but what I don't want to do is go out and try to find another one of these guys from directional whatever state, and he's won 3 championships in the Fun Belt, and
forget
that crap.
You have to have a coach, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying it's got to be head coaching that has Power 5 experience, whether it be an offensive coordinator or defense. Now, they can be a non-Power 5 head coach right now. Like, you know, I'm just throwing a name out there, not Butch Jones. He's at Arkansas State, you know, like, but he has Power 5 experience. Rich is at, you know, Jacksonville State. He has Power 5 experience. You want a coach that has Power 5 experience because this next hire it's a really, 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 really large hire for WVU right now, especially with all the expansion that's going on.
Jimbo might be ready. He might be available.
Jimbo might be available if they're not any good. I got them as a sleeper, though.
If they go 9-3, he's out.
You think? No way. They can't get it. They can't get rid of him in 9-3.
They can't, but you know they want him gone.
It'd be like a 75, 80 million.
How many games did they lose last year?
I think they went 5-7, didn't they? Didn't they miss a bowl?
Dude,
they brought in the number one recruiting class and went 5-7.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't matter.
I'm not disagreeing.
But I'm just, I don't know. But if he doesn't win 9-10 games, he's out of there.
Whew, man, it'd be hard to get rid of him making 75, paying him 75 million. I'd almost lose 10 on purpose. I'd Jimbo just get my money and go. That's like winning the lottery.
But imagine if he came to Morgantown.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Would people? You think people would like that hire?
I don't think people would like anybody that they hired, because no matter what, people were just looking for a reason to complain.
Bring back Bob Huggins.
I complain. I complain no matter who's hired. They hire Nick Saban, I'm going
to
complain.
You and your brother. His brother, listen to this. You want to hear something funny? His brother got mad at Rich Rod for losing to South Florida 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. and has only, in what was that, 2005?
It was like 2006 and 7 or okay. 5 and 6.
He's been back 3 times since.
Yeah, he don't.
He's been back like to watch the Mountaineers at all.
No, he don't go.
He doesn't go.
Will not go to the games.
No, he won't.
He's been back for the Marshall game in 11.
Avon
getting inducted into the Hall of Fame,
and somebody else was inducted to the Hall of Fame. Maybe
it was another game. I don't even know what it was. Somebody mentioned a third game.
Was it Major when Major was in? No, Major had been in for a long time.
No, he didn't go to the number retirement.
Oh, that's what that's what I was thinking of.
But anyway, he's been back 2 or 3 times since losing to South Florida.
South Florida was the worst.
But they had
he didn't even go back in 07.
No, he didn't go back after they lost that year. He didn't go back.
Yeah. Got rid of a season ticket.
They had Jason Pierre-Paul and George Selvey, though, man. That's how you win. Defensive line. They were elite defensive linemen.
I mean, so I get it. I mean, but fans are, that's how fans are.
I'll tell you what, lose to Duquesne. I dare you.
That was college football. Was
listen,
so they, good at that point.
If they lose to Duquesne, I'm not going back.
There won't be anybody at the Pitt game, and that's saying something. If they lose to Duquesne,
If they lose to Duquesne and you want to go to the Pitt game, call me.
You can have free tickets probably all over the place. Ain't nobody going.
I will unload my tickets in a heartbeat. Let's get into it. You know, we'll do this again for the radio show. Let's see. Let's talk. Predictions. Penn State, West Virginia. 7:30, Happy Valley. Michael's going up to cover the game for us. Good luck with that.
Hey, looking forward to it. That's one I get to check off the list. The whiteout is famous. On TV, it looks insane.
My brother's been to a whiteout game. He went in 2005 when they played Ohio State, and he said it's awesome.
They're going to do a whiteout?
Oh, yeah. That's their only.
It's every game, right?
No. It's their night game. They choose a game at night. Well, they play Michigan at home, but it's a noon game.
So
they picked West Virginia because it's a night game because they play at Ohio State. And then, you know, the rest of their conference, they don't play like a big marquee opponent. And West Virginia's kind of one of their old rivals. So they picked it as a whiteout. My brother says it's phenomenal. He says it's loud. It's unbelievable. It's a tough out at night. At that stadium, it doesn't matter how good your team is. It's a tough out at night.
All right. Well, let's go around the horn here, Derek. What is your prediction? Win or loss?
I think West Virginia they're a 20.5-point underdog. I don't think they'll lose by that many. They're not going to win, but I do think that they'll have some success if they try to run the football on Penn State. Penn State's one of those teams. They're in a weird situation because they're trying to catch Ohio State in the Big Ten East. Well, now all of a sudden, Michigan's come in here with this power run game. Penn State's put their defense out there to stop a spread offense, and now Michigan's running power football, so they're still trying to stop a spread. West Virginia can get behind this offensive line, and they can push their defensive line back a little bit and gain some yards, have some success, and grind this game and make it a competitive game. I think they'll fall short because I don't think they have the defense to hang in there, but they'll keep it competitive, I think, and they'll lose like 38-24.
It's a game where you need to make a big play early. You need to quiet that crowd out of the gates. Having C.J. Donaldson gives you that inside run game. He's a tough presence to bring down. I have a good feeling, guys. I think if you're Penn State, especially with the quarterback controversy coming into the season, maybe you haven't repped everything you want to rep. You're not as comfortable as you would be knowing what you got in your signal caller. I'm going to go ahead and predict it. I think it's a defensive contest. I think there's a lot of bad offensive execution, but West Virginia can control the clock. Apparently, we have two really good kickers. They could come down to a late field goal. Neil Brown was high on that position group. I'm going to say 17-14 West Virginia. It's one of those the ball's going to bounce somewhere. It's one of those games, and I'll take the Mountaineers on the road.
He is saying they are breaking in a new quarterback. I didn't throw that in there. Now, this kid was highly recruited. His name's Alar. He's from Ohio. He was a 5-star recruit. He's thrown 33 college passes, and it's mainly against like Rutgers and teams that they were blowing out. You never know what he's going to be like. If he comes out and he's not as good as he's supposed to be either, you're right. You could be in a slugfest. I think he'll be pretty good though. Just my opinion, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a tall task. Happy Valley on the road. Here's the thing. I think if I'm going to echo a few things you guys say. If West Virginia can get behind their line, run the football with Donaldson, and here's the key. If they're running the same old crap they've been running under the Neil Brown era, I don't think it's going to be a very close game. If they've put some wrinkles in and worked the offense around who their undisclosed, I'm using my air quotes, their undisclosed starter, which is Garrett Green, and put some wrinkles into where they're running this RPO stuff and then can convert third and sevens, convert third and sixes. Here, that's the thing and a key element of the game. Turnovers. If the defense can get a couple of turnovers, they can win this football game. With that being said, 31-21 Penn State.
Also, please, if you get into a situation where it's fourth and an inch,
go for it.
Please go for it. You're a 20.5 point underdog.
Well, I think
please be aggressive and try to win the game and don't play not to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I would have gone for that, but
I mean,
here's the thing. I say this all the time. Coaches don't do things they're not comfortable with. And are you comfortable with giving the ball to a true freshman?
When you look at him, yeah. When you need an inch and he's 6'6",
it's just like anything. Coaches don't play guys they're not
comfortable with. It's who they trust.
It's kind of wild. Well, thank you guys for downloading the podcast version of the Touchdown City Show. Be on the lookout for the radio show tomorrow in Charleston on WJYP 1300 The Jock. And then, of course, statewide, 11 stations, 22 markets. We're building a website. I'm actually going to check in with my guy tomorrow to see how far or how close we are so I can check out the proofreading and make sure. But it'll have a full list of radio affiliates. And then go to check our social media. We've posted all the radio affiliates. I just don't know all the times just yet because some run it in the morning, some run it in the afternoon. Anyway, but gentlemen, and don't forget, listen for the Alumni Hall trivia question. Phone number 304-9696-TDC. That's over on the radio show. And we appreciate you guys checking out the Touchdown City Show this week. And we'll be back next week with the results of the Penn State-West Virginia game.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.